This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I say let them. If they can afford it, you can't blame them for doing that. But you got to force some of these smaller market teams, especially like John Fisher and the A's, to say, hey, you have to spend a minimum amount of money. Because I don't care if the players are going to get their money. They're going to get their money. The players' union is going to want them to get as much money as they can. The thing is you got to give something back to the fans and saying, I'm going to put money back into this team so you can have a winning product on the field. And right now what they're doing to Buster Posey is unfair. They're putting him in because they're trying to appease fans and having a face that we all know. But then at the same time, you're telling us we're cutting back salary. We're out on Soto. You let Snell go for nothing and then go to our rivals, which for something for 5 years, 172?
Yeah.
We couldn't afford that. We couldn't spend that kind of money. I don't understand that. Now, the only way that I think that the Giants can redeem themselves is if they get a little plethora of players. I'm talking go out and go get Bo Bichette, Willie Adames, go get Vlad Jr. Go do something. If you don't do anything, I'm saying it's time to sell. You got to get new ownership, new face in there, because if we're going to be doing like this, we're going to be looking up at the Dodgers for the next 10 years, in which it looks like we already are. And that's frustrating because this is, look at, especially with the A's now eventually going to go to Sacramento and then eventually going to Las Vegas. You have a whole region of Northern California just waiting for a team for there, and you have a vacuum that you can get these fans and get a winning team out there, but they're not doing it.
I know.
I don't understand. Wouldn't this be the time to strike and be like, no, we're going to go for it. We're going to get that little plethora of fans that are disenfranchised. They don't know what to do. We're going to get a winning product out there. I just don't understand the direction of where the Giants are going. And I feel bad for Buster Posey because I kind of feel like he has to come out and say, we're not doing these things, and it's going to make us feel better. Oh, because it's Buster? It still pisses me off.
I know.
I'm still frustrated right now.
How much pressure's on Bryce Eldridge?
Oh, man.
I'm dead serious.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Thanks, Deli Boy. Appreciate the time, man. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Anthony Slater, 8:30, talking Dubs. Stu Gotts, our guy from Dan Le Batard Show, 9:20, talking about his book that he's promoting. But also, just you can talk about anything. I know Stu Gotts is a big... I don't know if it's tongue-in-cheek or not, but Ohtani hater, so maybe he'd be welcomed here on the program. You're with him.
Well, look, there's something to be said. Like, the top seven payrolls in baseball all made the playoffs, right? Yeah. So there's something to be said about money. But that being said, the Padres had the Dodgers beat. Like, and they reduced payroll, by the way, the Padres, this last year. They had them. If they just close out game six, they're the team that advances.
I mean, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have Merry Christmas.
Like, but Joe, can you acknowledge, like, the Padres had an opportunity to take them out?
They did. Yeah, they did.
And look,
but they didn't.
Are the Padres a financial juggernaut? Yes, to a team like the A's, but to the Giants, no. The Giants had a higher payroll this last year than the Padres. So, like, yes, you need to have money. Like, I'm not saying that money doesn't matter. Money absolutely matters. For example, with them, they lost a ton of pitchers. This is the Dodgers. You still have the money to take on more payroll at the deadline, right? A lot of these small market teams don't have that luxury when injuries happen. So that is a built-in advantage. But the Padres had them. And Dylan Cease and them couldn't get it done.
You know what's frustrating, too? It's the biggest move for the Dodgers wasn't even someone that was that expensive. It was someone that the Giants actually, they were linked to and someone they could have had. It's kind of like Teoscar Hernandez.
It's a great call.
Like, come on. Like, you can't get a guy like that in your building. You let the Dodgers go for the cheap, and he's probably going to get re-signed by them. Or, hell, maybe the Giants are interested in him now. I don't know. But those are the moves that would piss me off more so than anything. Because, yeah, you weren't going to get Shohei. You're not going to get Juan Soto. It's those fringe guys that can make a huge difference. And he was an all-star last year. He wasn't even a fringe guy.
Yeah.
So those are the moves that I'd be looking at. But let's pivot now.
Yeah.
Joe Shasky to a team with legit expectations, not the Giants. A team with the San Francisco 49ers. And we've been saying it for weeks now, a do-or-die game. This is a must-win. And they kept losing these must-win games. So, like, I don't know where fans are at right now with their psyche. I know you're down bad. But I just keep thinking to myself, if there's somehow, some way, if they win this week, what it can do to a fan base. Now, we'll see what's going on, and Dan Graziano of ESPN, he's been monitoring this Purdy situation with his throwing shoulder. He was limited on Monday, but he says it's described by him as a day-to-day or week-to-week injury. So it sounds like they don't even know what's happening. And Baldy was joining you guys yesterday. Brian Baldinger, 95.7 The Game, NFL insider, former NFL offensive lineman, joins you guys every single Tuesday throughout the season. And he was saying he doesn't really know what it was. And he was talking to people before the game. So we don't even know what this injury is. The MRI said it was clean. The results are encouraging. But he still might be week-to-week. So it sounds like this is something that's just going to be lingering on. And I guess I say all that to say this, Joe Shasky. The weather, we're looking at potential single digits in Buffalo. Like, would you even want to bring him back this week? Like, that sounds like it's a recipe for disaster if you're just trying to get this guy healed up in time to even have a chance this season. If even if you lose this week, it's not the end of the world. But
if it was an ankle or something like that, I would be more inclined to rush him back. It's his moneymaker. It's his shoulder. I'm very concerned about Brock Purdy. And here's the other thing. Like, we watched Jimmy Garoppolo play through a shoulder injury. He played horrible. Horrible. And I'm not saying that Brock is better or worse, whatever. Like, he's clearly a better player than Jimmy Garoppolo. But what I'm saying,
afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
Okay, those playoff games and that finish down the stretch, we can't unsee. Would you agree?
Oh, he was never, like, only the Raiders viewed him as a starter after that. And look what happened after. He was horrible last
year. And so, like, I do worry about his physical long-term viability. And then simultaneously, like, his psyche. Confidence is the most important thing in sports. You know, Russell Wilson, did he lose confidence?
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's pretty much gained it in Pittsburgh. Would you agree?
Yes.
Right? And he looks like a different player.
He does. I do think his physical skill sets are, like, more limited than it was.
They're diminished.
Yes, than what he was at Seattle. But to your point, yeah, it matters. The mental outlook is sometimes more important than the physical, especially with a guy like Brock Purdy, because, you know, let's be honest, he's already limited physically.
No, he
so
is.
Adding the
he
shoulder is. Injury on top of that, playing in single digits, mm-hmm. that concerns me, not only for the product on the field, but to what you're saying, his future in getting paid.
Let's say I took the name Brock Purdy off the list, okay? And I said to you, like, remove yourself in your fandom. Would the Bills, at 5-6, would they play Josh Allen with a hurt shoulder? Would they rush him back, guess?
No.
I don't think they would either.
No. I don't think they would do that with, like, a Jordan Love, a Lamar Jackson, a Patrick Mahomes. But that also goes back to their
even confidence. With their season kind of circling the drains?
Correct. I don't
think so either. I'm kind of with you. But maybe I'm wrong.
Shoulder's the one, like,
that's what I'm saying.
It's the same in baseball for a pitcher. Like, I'm not messing with anything with a strain, a tightness. Hell, I mean, a
pitcher. Now, he did play through an elbow injury, Josh Allen.
He did, but did Josh Allen have elbow surgery like Brock Purdy did just a year ago?
Not even close.
Like, that's what's also concerning about this. And Dr. Nirav Pandya, our 95.7 The Game injury insider, shout out UCSF Health, he's even a little bit concerned about that. Like, you're coming off an elbow injury, and on top of that, the shoulder. There's a concern level there. And Baldy talked about it yesterday with you guys on if it's going to hold up in the cold.
But I don't really know. It kind of came late last week. Like, we didn't really know, like, how bad. We thought maybe it was just a rest day on Wednesday, whatever, you know, after the loss to Tampa. Like, I just thought, or the loss to Seattle. I didn't think there was any reason to think that he was injured in that game. I know diving for, you know, the touchdown, all that kind of stuff, maybe that's where he got hurt, the speculation. But I didn't see anything in that game that said he's going to be questionable going into this weekend's game against Green Bay. But look, the weather was fine in Green Bay. It was mid-40s. The wind wasn't bad. The grass was perfect. I doubt you're going to get those conditions in Buffalo on Sunday night.
No, they're projecting 30-mile-an-hour winds, snow, a half a foot of snow, I should say. And, single digits with wind chill. Do you want to do that with a guy that's already struggles to throw the ball right now, and then you add another shoulder injury? Like,
on turf.
Why play him this week is what I'm just asking.
Well, I think you have to be, you know, you have to have the big picture view. It's the same thing I was talking about
when it
comes to the Giants.
If this is the future of the franchise,
exactly.
That their words, that these their guy, that's the word they use. This is our guy, John Lynch, Jed York, he's going to reset the quarterback market. Why would you put him out there this week? Why?
Well,
You view this team as a Super Bowl contender still? Please.
If this were a playoff game, I view this completely different. Not. And it's not. Exactly. Look how quickly you scoff at that. And I know there's people like, well, you're mathematically still available, and you could still do X, Y, and Z. Yeah, I understand that, but sometimes you have to save these guys from themselves. Like, that's why I'm a very, very specific belief that Nick Bosa needs to shut it down, too. Because I think Nick's going to have a long rehab process on this oblique injury.
Ah, this game, it's going to, aesthetically, it's going to look awesome because we love snow games, but it could be a disaster for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the Bills also have to play in it, and I get it. They always say there's some sort of home field advantage, but honestly, like when both teams are playing in the snow and it's that cold, they're both going to be feeling the effects. But this is having a guy, and I get it. I'm not here to crush Brock. I'm not here to say any of this stuff. These are just the facts. This is why it matters in the AFC North. Having a big, strong quarterback. Brock Purdy's skill set is not his fit. His strengths are not in his physical skill set.
So you've heard my argument for years, because I've said forever, like, Kyler doesn't work in New England.
No, he doesn't work in the AFC North either. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like
he'd be a Miami quarterback, if anything,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like, Stafford, I believe, works anywhere.
Yeah.
That's why he's had some great NFC North outdoor games over the years. Tua hasn't won a game below 25 degrees in his career.
And we're going to watch him play in Lambeau on Sunday night tomorrow. Or sorry, I keep saying Sunday night because it's Sunday night football on Thursday night.
Yeah.
But tomorrow on Thursday night.
And I think one of the underrated skills of Tom Brady, I just think we underrated his arm strength in general.
Oh, he was a dynamic. Like, he got...
Just, you know what I mean? The way to throw it in the wind. Like, we live in the Bay Area, so we have the Marine layer. It's not New England. I'm not pretending that it is. But you all know I've played catch with someone who can spin it through the wind. Spin it through the elements. Some guys can, some guys can't.
At 44 years old, in the NFC Championship game in Lambeau Field, he was slinging it in bad conditions. And he looked stronger than ever. Shout out the TB12 method. Maybe you should get that for Michelle for Christmas time. The TB12 book.
Well, then you know what she would say to me? What, are you implying something?
No, you just want... I want you to be like Tom
Brady.
Now
you see where I'm going.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're never going to win with that. That's what I'm saying. You just got to get, hey, here's a diamond or something like
here's
that.
Here's a $250 gift card to Lululemon.
If that's what it
she
takes.
She hates gift cards.
What, did you think they're disingenuous?
Yeah.
But you're
go the extra mile and pick out some pants.
As I got LJ a $25 gift card to Target. But hey,
no,
that's
fine.
That's clutch, though. Because
that's
you know what?
She's talking about me buying her a gift, not you.
No, it's easy to get the one-year-old stuff because like I'm not getting them clothes or anything. Get something that they're actually going to use, and you're going to go get diapers, you're going to go get wipes with it or something like that. So there you go.
He actually, he got a lot of really cool gifts.
So there you go.
His favorite, though, was the actual wrapping paper from the gifts.
Oh, they love that. The kids love that. 888-957-9570. And he's going to have a great time opening up those gifts, ripping them open on Christmas Day. Again,
bro, I was more fun to open the gifts. I was having a blast.
Right? It's for the parents. The first birthday is always for the parents. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by San Francisco International Airport. I hear what you... See, I feel like Bonte right now. I hear what you're saying over there, but they can't hear it on the air. 888-957-9570. Should Brock Purdy play this Sunday in Buffalo? Is it a must-win game for the San Francisco 49ers, or do you need to protect your asset going forward? That's what I want to ask you, 49er faithful. 888-957-9570 is the number. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. It's the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
Spadoni in for Bonte Hill. Alongside Joe Shasky, an extended crossover, if you will. Good morning to all you lovely people. Just getting off work, getting ready for it, getting ready for school. You got me and Shasky till 10 o'clock. But before that, we got some business to take care of. We got a giveaway in the 8 o'clock hour. If you're watching on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union, well, if you're not, you should, because you can see this beautiful face. Yes, the nose is real, and it's spectacular. But you can also see this beautiful jersey I'm wearing, the NBA City Edition Golden State Warriors jersey that they'll be rocking tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. We will have that coverage for you right here on 95.7 The Game starting at 6 o'clock. Tip off at 7 with the great Tim Roy. But in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be giving away this jersey, but it's going to be a Buddy Hield jersey. I'm wearing Steph right now because, you know, we're the host, so we get Steph. But Buddy Hield's been a baller this year for the most part. A little bit of a dip right now, but that's all right. Buddy Buckets, we're going to be giving away one of those jerseys in the 8 o'clock hour. You just got to be paying attention for this sounder. And I got it, Carter. I can play it. Don't worry.
Moody leads Draymond away. Quick feed to Anderson. Big step to the corner. Buddy Hield release and splash! Ties the game at 26. The Warriors.
There you go. So just be listening to that in the 8 o'clock hour, and I'll give away the phone number that you have to call. And also be sure to download the Odyssey app and thousands of other stations. And millions, not millions, not thousands, I thought billions were on here now. The amount of podcasts I'm seeing from NBA players alone feels like it's in the billions, but they're all free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, and great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, which hopefully we'll be hearing from you and Sam Lubman soon, Joe.
Yeah. Sam's coming back in. He's not in the room yet, is he? Oh, he's back? All right, good. So I was thinking about something. You know, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, and it's a great sports day. Like, it really is. You wake up, and it's football all day.
9:30. It's even earlier, too. You got Lions, you got Bears, and I'm actually excited about the Lions game this year.
Yeah, and like, it's just, it's a lot of fun. And look, I'm going to
see Wicked, by the way?
I'm not going to go see Wicked.
Michelle into that? No? Broadway?
Okay. Stop!
All right.
I'm going to get self-involved here, but hear me out, guys. It's a great sports day, right? And it's going to be one of the, like, big sports days without my dad, right? And it's something that I've been thinking about, and it's something that's really difficult, you know, for there's a lot of downtime on Thanksgiving. Like, down, and what I mean downtime is I call it couch time with the family, right? Where you're sitting on the couch, you're either waiting, you have a little breakfast or whatever, or you're waiting for the food to happen, and that's where you get all of the wacky uncle opinions. Sports and not sports, political, right? You're going to have all the conversations with your cousins. And I'm going to miss my dad's banter. Like, just straight up, I'm going to miss my dad's banter. And I remember when my wife and I were first dating, and I was like so embarrassed just by my family in general, because we're crazy. You've met my family. We're crazy.
Well, I have 9 siblings, so my craziness level is a little different than most. I'm very similar to mine. But
we're crazy compatible.
But yes, exactly.
And that's what I'm going at with this when it comes to, you know, your significant other. Now, sometimes two people from opposite ends of the spectrum can come together. But to me, Thanksgiving is one of the great determinators on if you will be sports compatible with your family. And I'm talking about your wife's side, okay? My significant other side. I knew I fit right in when I went to her grandfather's house and we were sitting on the couch and me and Uncle Danny were talking football all day. And the kids and I were throwing the football. They had a hoop out front. And I was like, yeah, this is my kind of family, right? We were compatible as a family. And I knew it was all that downtime, all right? Now, I knew that when my wife went over to my side of the family, it's like, oh, God, please. I love you, Uncle Jim. You're probably out there. Don't do anything foolish to make this girl run away from me, okay? Dad, please don't say anything dumb.
It's tough, too, because I was in the same boat because you have a very large family.
Exactly.
So huge. So I do as well. I just said I'm one of 10 children. So if I bring someone over or my siblings would bring someone over, and they're an only child or have one sibling, it's a culture shock.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I have a belief. If you don't love sports, it's going to be hard for me and you to be friends. I'm just being real. There's nothing worse than, like, my wife, my friend's friend. Hey, what's up, man? You a sports guy? Nope. It's like, oh, great. Well, that limits all of the conversations we're going to have.
Well, that's not true. If you talk about P. Diddy at all, I'm sure you guys would be best friends. Anything Diddy related right now.
Different conversation. But that being said, like, having sports on the television while you're on the couch during Thanksgiving, is it not a tradition?
Yes, it is.
All right. So Sam Lubman at the break comes up to me and he starts bringing up how he's afraid to bring his girlfriend over to his family's house. And now I want to explore this some more.
The right word,
afraid?
But I don't know if afraid is the right word, but I just, you know, last year for Thanksgiving, I brought a girl I was dating, a different girl that I was dating.
How long were you dating? Because that's pretty bold to bring a girl.
It was only a few months in, so yeah, I don't know, maybe that was a little bit. But anyway, I brought her over, and I mean, it was a good time. She had a decent enough time, but there was one moment in our Thanksgiving. We do this every year for Thanksgiving in my family. We go to my grandparents' house, and this year it's going to be a little bit more emotionally charged because it's our first Thanksgiving since my grandpa passed last month.
I get it.
So, you know, my grandma, you know, she likes to kind of structure things in her own way. So, so yeah, for every year for Thanksgiving, we always have this time, you know, before dinner where we all go in the living room together and there's no phones, no TVs, and we just kind of sit around the living room with a big charcuterie plate of cheese and crackers and just talk for an hour before dinner.
About what?
And just about anything. It's just about being together. That's the whole concept.
You turn the TV off?
Everything is turned off. Yes, my grandma is not a big TV person.
All right, keep going. I'm already. I'm not.
I know.
But is she a radio person?
Well, she's
back
not
in her day, right?
She's not. Grandma. No, she listens. She listens to the show.
She can be locked in.
She might be listening right now. Hey, shout out to you, Grandma.
That's right.
You're listening right
again,
now.
Hi,
Grandma Loves.
So, but yeah, so we go in the living room. We just kind of talk for an hour. Again, to me, we've been doing that my entire life for Thanksgiving. So it's like, oh, this is a normal thing that every family does. We just they sit around and talk over hors d'oeuvres before dinner. I learned last year that apparently that's a weird thing. And like afterwards, this girl, again, we're not together anymore. She's like, that was weird that you guys do that. I'm like, really? Like, it's just family time. It's like, yeah, but it's weird that it's so forced. So fast forward to this week, you know, I'm talking to my current girlfriend, Allie.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Cleaning up.
How long you guys been together?
We've been together for a while.
Good answer.
The date fluctuates depending on who you ask. That's neither here nor there. But I was, you know, asking her, you know, do you want to come over? And she's like, I don't know. I might go to my family's or whatever. I'm like, you know what? It might be better just for you to do your own family this year. Because, again, it's the first Thanksgiving since my
you
grandpa.
You deferred the kickoff?
Oh, it's for a multitude of reasons.
We'll
one,
take
it's
it in
be,
the second half.
It's going to be an emotional dinner. You know, my grandma wants us to be there a little bit earlier so we can kind of do some stuff to memorialize my grandfather.
Gotcha.
And so
gotcha.
It's just like, you know, it's going to be an emotionally charged one. If you want to sit this one out, I understand that. But then I was telling her about kind of the traditions we do, and I told her about the charcuterie thing, and she's like, yeah, that's weird. You guys force interaction. And I'm like,
you've never been to a Shasky party. We don't shut up. Like, that's,
yeah.
That's
well, no, she's telling me this stuff, but she's right, like, I have no rebuttal here. Like, yeah, you know what? On the outside looking in, I get why that's weird. So that's why I brought up the question. I'd love to hear from other roasters out there, 888-957-9570. Like, do you have, like, a Thanksgiving tradition that your family does that others might think is weird? And I don't want to, like, shake a stick at weird Thanksgiving traditions.
Sam,
what
Sam.
You and your family do is a great and beautiful thing. But every family probably has at least one thing that they do that on the outside looking in, it's like, that's kind of weird.
Sam, I'm going to let you know right now, it is a little weird. And I love you, dude. But you know what? I expect that from you.
But no, everybody, I feel like everybody has that weird tradition. Maybe it's Thanksgiving. Maybe it's Christmas. You know, we all have that one weird thing.
Maybe, and that's your one thing, shout out Odyssey. Maybe, just
such
maybe,
insight,
too.
Jerry.
And I'm not gonna crush you, Sam, because for Shasky and our families, we've just been ingrained so much with just everyone wants their voice heard.
100%.
So we're going to talk over each other all the time.
The whole time.
And we're very outgoing people. Not every family is like that, though. As I've learned, some people are very reserved. Some people are more quiet. Some people aren't as outgoing. So when I, you know, get excited about something or Joe Shasky, we're very similar where our voices tend to get louder.
Yeah.
Because we're just very happy and energetic about something. And I learned that sometimes I was too loud and I needed to check myself. But at our family gatherings, that's everyone's trying to one-up each other. So whether it's a joke,
mm-hmm.
whether it's
that's exactly
a sports
what
take,
ours is, yeah.
You one-up, you one-up, you one-up. That's what we do. But for your family, that's not the case. You guys are all in your own little bubbles, probably. So this is your grandma's way of trying to bring everyone together, and I could respect that. Now, not having the background or the white noise, I would probably just put that on there just because it helps ease the tension.
Come on,
because there
man.
Does sound like there's some tension in the building sometimes when it comes to maybe
does grandma go over
politics,
and just
maybe it comes to other stuff. Right now, Sam, you're looking at
does
me.
Does grandma
just
go over and just turn the TV off? And say, all right.
Well,
man,
no. So our
everyone sit down.
The TV is upstairs,
we'll
away from the
second,
common areas. So,
yeah.
Also, really quick, breaking news: Daniel Jones is going to not the 49ers.
Thank
he will
God.
Be a Viking.
Oh,
that's why. But Carter and I were just debating
actually.
Whether or not to hit the breaking news sound. I figured, you know what?
Darnold and Jones
to the Vikings. Yeah, if he was coming to the Niners, that would have been our show. But
redemption song, Bob Marley, the Minnesota Vikings.
Well. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach, has asked about it, I think, either yesterday or the day before, and he said like he was really enjoyed his draft work during the process of the draft a couple years
yeah.
ago. I think that was his rookie year as an NFL head coach. So, hey, he was in on Daniel Jones back then when he was coming out of Duke. I guess he's in on him now. And you know what? It's funny because Daniel Jones' only playoff victory was against the Minnesota Vikings.
That is
Cousins.
Full
wow.
circle.
There he goes. Full circle
wow.
for Daniel Jones.
I like that report yesterday. Daniel Jones has zeroed in on a team. Like, he's the one picking the team that he's going to, and he's not just, it's whatever team just wants to take him.
So, Daniel Jones would have been obviously the backup here, but Brandon Allen, I don't think, played actually that bad as we get
that's
back
what
into
I'm
this
saying.
Game. So, Brandon Allen, if Brock Purdy can't go, he's going to be the starter next week in Buffalo. Here's what Brian Baldinger said yesterday to you, Joe Shasky, in regards to BA's performance.
Execution is the name of the game, and they didn't do that. But once you got through that, you got that that drive before the half to get in the end zone. That was a good drive that he put together. And, you know, if you catch the ball and protect a little bit better, you know, threw for 200 yards, he threw for a decent percentage. Like, I thought he saw the field well, the ball came out well. Like, I was actually surprised at how comfortable he looked, considering how little he has played.
And I'm not overly concerned about the throwing in this upcoming game, honestly, as we're talking about it. Now, you're going to have to throw the ball because you're not going to have a Mac Jones, Josh McDaniels, New England Patriots type game in Buffalo like you did a few years ago where they just ran it a million times and threw it only three times. I don't think it's going to be that bad. But that being said, having a stronger armed quarterback this week will pay off. You're going to see it on the other side with Josh Allen, who has probably the strongest arm outside of Anthony Richardson in the NFL. If there's 30-mile-an-hour winds, you're damn right it's going to matter. So I don't want to have my limited arm strength quarterback, who's even more so limited in Brock Purdy playing this Sunday, if he is hurt, going into that situation and setting him up to fail. Maybe playing Brandon Allen is the smartest choice for Kyle Shanahan this week, regardless of if Brock Purdy gets cleared or not. Am I thinking too much into that?
No. I mean, I just think that right now, like, they're in such a tough spot. He's got to practice. Can we agree? Like, we got to start with practice. Can he get through a practice?
And he didn't practice yesterday. He did light throwing, and he didn't feel pain on Monday, Brock Purdy, that is.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. So, like, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I think if he practices either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you know, that will tell us something.
This is Dan Graziano on ESPN, Chasky. He said their plan is to assess, the 49ers that is, assess how Brock Purdy feels today and plan from there. It is truly unknown whether Purdy will be available Sunday night in Buffalo.
I'm going to read that into as pessimistic. Is there any other way to read it?
I mean, it's the word unknown, like you can't feel good about that. Shout out Elsa, Into the Unknown, Frozen 2.
It's a good call. I don't know what... they're in such a tough spot. They got to get back to running the ball. I know they've been going up against stack boxes like every week. It feels like this year we are reliving the Jimmy Garoppolo 2021 experience of stack boxes. I'm talking about defenses piling everyone in and saying, we dare you to beat man coverage. And I think the absence of Brandon Ayuk is really being felt.
Well, in the absence of a Christian McCaffrey that we saw last year. Like, we're seeing Christian McCaffrey, but it's not the Christian McCaffrey we saw last year.
Not even close.
It's going back to Christmas, it's the ghost of McCaffrey past. Not even that. This is the ghost of McCaffrey future we're seeing right now in real time. Like, this isn't what we're expecting, but maybe it's kind of ridiculous that fans do expect this guy to look like just himself. This is bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Like, some doctors said this was a, quote, ticking time bomb of an injury that they're just waiting to happen. And you could see that when he's rushing. He doesn't look
crazy
comfortable when he's out there. You know who looks comfortable when he's out there when they give him the ball? Jordan Mason. He looks comfortable. Brian Baldinger talked about that yesterday with you guys and what he's seeing from Christian McCaffrey and his struggles right now.
I talked to him before the game, and I put down in one of my – because he had the week before, he had 8 of his runs went for 2 yards or less. So on one of the runs, I said, you know, he's right in the hole, and there's a big gap to the right the week before. I said, that's, to me, his legs could feel great. The Achilles tendonitis can be healed, but his eyes didn't look right to me. And he said to me, he goes, you know, I mean, he kind of timed, like, I wasn't really looking to, you know, pick his brain about that, but he brought it up to me. Like he watched it, which just surprised me. But not only did he watch the video, but he said, you're right. I missed that hole. And I go, was it are your eyes late right now? Christian goes, no, I got fooled. But I'm thinking that guy was full speed the way we've seen Jordan Mason 2 weeks in a row hit full speed dives up right up the middle, where he's seen it in real time at full speed. And I don't know that Christian's eyes are right.
That's concerning to me. And that signals to me, and Baldy didn't say this, but that signals is more mental than physical with anything him right now. His confidence level is just shot. And after week after week after week, he keeps getting stuffed. He keeps getting stuffed. Like, sooner or later, that's going to bleed into his physical play. And right now, the 49ers need this guy to look not as the offensive player of the year, just look like a top 10 back in the league right now. He was the best running back in football. Can he just be a top 10 guy right now? And they can't even get that production. Whereas Jordan Mason, he was a top 5 running back when he was getting those touches.
It's crazy. The Jordan Mason thing is wild. You know, I was opining for him to get more touches last year. I didn't think he could do what he did this year. Like, he's way better this year than I thought of whatever I thought he could do last year. It was more like, I just think he's a bruiser and he's a different punishing style that would complement CMC and maybe, you know, provide longevity for him. But it is weird. Like, in the handful of runs, I mean, Jordan Mason's running so hard, so fast. It looks like he shot out of a cannon. And CMC just looks a little hesitant is the word that I would use. And it's not that he's not trying hard. No, it's just I don't see that same explosion. When I watch Saquon, it looks like he's been shot out of a cannon, doesn't it?
You watch him? You watched Josh Jacobs last week. And we were talking about this.
Josh Jacobs' amazing.
Skill isn't predicated on speed. But it's those cuts that he can make, that lateral quickness that he has.
And the decisiveness.
And he's, I know he's a little undersized, but he's strong.
Yeah.
And he could drag some people. You are not tackling him one-on-one. Kind of like how he used to talk about Debo. Like, good luck tackling him one-on-one. That's Josh Jacobs in the running game. But he's been able to see those holes, get quick. And the eyes not being there, not being ready enough, is concerning. And here's the second part of Baldy talking about that, whether it's more mental or physical with Christian.
I don't know. Like, I think he might, like, just by what he said to me, and I don't want to one little conversation into a big deal. I don't want to do that. But I'm wondering if he's questioning himself. If there's, like, you could say confidence, but, you know, if you're, like, you're seeing, like, he was the best running back in football last year. He averaged 5.4 yards a carry. Like, it was stellar. Now, you could say, okay, Kittle's out last week, Trent's out this week, all that stuff. But you can't just put it on a player. Like I understand they gotta do their job up front. But I see backs all the time, including Josh Jacobs on Sunday, find yards that don't look like they're there. And you just don't see the explosion through the hole. Like, there's a hesitancy right now. And if you hesitate that position, you're just you're a pedestrian back.
Again, confidence, pedestrian, eyes aren't seeing it. There's a lot there, which leads me to think, I mean, on top of physical, just not feeling great, it is in his head right now. Let's go to Verducci out in the EDH, Joe Shasky, as we carry on this conversation about Christian McCaffrey and your concern level right now with the 49ers injuries. What's going on, Verducci? You're on with Spadoni and Shasky on the Morning Roast.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good morning. And first off, I want to give my thanks to the 95.7 The Game family. Grateful for you all. You know, between you, Shasky, Bonte, Corey in the back there, Sam, Matt, and the rest of the hosts, man. Just it's great to be able to have a platform where us fans can be able to speak about the successes, the failures, our frustrations about sports and what we love. So I hope that you all have a happy Thanksgiving. And then this weekend, I mean, it really is about getting back to running the ball. You guys have talked about it. You know, CMC looks hesitant. He looks a little off. I don't know if it's because he's not truly 100%, but you got to go back to the guys that got you here, and that's Mason, Guerrero, and mixing them in. I think maybe even doing a little bootleg action, I think it helped, because obviously I think they're going to think that we're going to be running the ball a lot, given the conditions there with the snow. So I think just getting back to that and controlling the clock. I think that really killed us in the Green Bay game, because there's a lot of quick drives where we could have ran the ball, controlled the game, kept our defense off the field, since we know that that's our weak link of our team right now. And so really looking forward to it. I'm hoping that Purdy can be out there. I'm hoping they can protect him. But yeah, 49er fans, I mean, let's just keep the faith. You know, we're one game back. I know it's been difficult. I know I've had my issues with Shanahan. But I'm really hoping that Shanahan can learn from last week, take it and move forward, so we can get back to the winning ways. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You too, Verducci. Great call. You know, I'm looking at this, Spadone. I almost called you Bonte there.
It's all right. I'll allow it.
McCaffrey, 11 for 31. I'm talking about rushing. 11 for 31 in the last game against Green Bay. 19 for 79 against Seattle. It felt like he was getting it going a little. And the team was too. And then the first game against Tampa, 13 for 39. You're averaging about 3.5 yards a carry. Now it's three games, not a huge sample. Before the shoulder injury, just from week one until the Seattle game where he did get hurt, 147 yards, 100 yards, 77, 123, 89, 73. That's the rushing yards for Jordan Mason. On the year, even though he's been iced out the last 4 or 5 weeks, 5.1 yards a carry. He's also making more yards after contact. I think you got to find a way to get him more involved. You just have to. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all. I just think you're going to have to stay dedicated to the run. And right now, like, your best use is both guys, not just one or the other.
And what's tough right now is, and with just the 49ers run game in general, Joe Shasky, not having a guy like Trent Williams out there is brutal. And I know Trent hasn't had the best year. He had the holdout. A lot of fans are pissed off at him. But he's still a top five left tackle in the NFL. Even at his diminished state this year, he's still better than almost everyone else in the league. He's just that good. He's a Hall of Famer. He's just not at his Hall of Fame level. But missing a guy like that, it's almost like it's a trickle-down effect. So yeah, you're missing the quarterback. That means you're on your backup. That means the opposing defense is going to stack the box. They're going to force Brandon Allen to throw, Josh Dobbs, whoever it is. That's just what you do, right? We're going to force this backup to beat us. That's just smart football. But when your left tackle's out, and you have to rely on that run game, it's just, it's really tough to win. And I hate trying to be the excuse guy here, but I do think it's a legitimate excuse right now. When you look at just where this team is at, health-wise, 10 guys that are starters, I feel like I could call them right now. Nick Bosa, hurt. Javon Hargrave, out for the season. Dre Greenlaw, not there. Talanoa Hufanga, not there. You've missed Charvarius Ward, obviously due to personal reasons. Brock Purdy, that's on six. You missed Christian McCaffrey for most of the season. Did I even mention Trent Williams? Like, I'm almost at 10 already.
I know.
And there's more. Like,
and if Trent's a game time decision, this is, I'm gonna sound like almost a little cruel when I say this. I just wonder where he's at. Like, because I truly believe there are times where I felt like he's been a front runner. I believe that. And like when the chips have been against the
definitely
Niners,
definitely sore loser mentality when they're getting
okay.
Beat.
Maybe sore loser is the better way of putting it. Okay. Seahawks play the Jets at 10 a.m. Cardinals play the Vikings at 10 a.m. And then the 1 o'clock game is Rams and Saints. We're going to know if the whole division wins or who wins and who doesn't. I just got this feeling that if Seahawks win, Arizona wins, the Rams win, these guys are going to start making their own business decisions.
Well,
and then you lose the game against Buffalo. Now you're a couple games out. And now really it's instead of two, you're really like 2.5 to 3 because of tiebreakers.
It's a very tricky situation right now. And it's hard not, if you're a 49ers fan, it's hard not to feel like it's a lost season. But at the same time, we all kind of knew this was a possibility all summer long, right? You lose a Super Bowl, it's not like it's a lock you're going to get back to the playoffs next year. Look at the history of the teams that lose a Super Bowl. It is almost, and we're talking about mentals with Christian McCaffrey, it's almost more mental than it is physical. But when the physicality and the body starts breaking down of your players on top of that, I mean, good luck, man. Well, I mean, and you could say, oh, well, the Chiefs, oh, and you saw Keyshawn Nixon saying it last week, oh, well, you know, Jordan Love, he was out for a while, and we got the wins with Malik Willis, the backup. Yeah, but it's different when it's Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey and Dre Greenlaw and Nick Bosa
and
Ayuk. I didn't even mention that. Thank you. And Ayuk. Sooner or later, like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just, it's not meant to be in a season if that's all the injuries that are going to be taking place. You think the Chiefs are going to overcome that? The Chiefs lost their two starting tackles in the Super Bowl and got boat raced.
But
there's only so much you can overcome sometimes.
It's been a season from hell. I mean, that's like the only other way to put it. Like, it's been the season from hell. Like, I think about the Warriors season from hell when Clay was out for the whole year at the ACL and then Steph Curry got his hand broken. And Draymond just stopped caring, and he admitted it. And they were just running out Kai Bowman and Eric Paschal. That was a season from hell, right? It was just, but it wasn't like this, because this, you felt like you had a, with Clay out, you're like, yeah, we probably don't have a chance. We just lost KD, right? You didn't really feel like you were a legitimate contender. That felt like the season from hell. This is worse, because heading into the year, you did feel like you had a Super Bowl contender team. You did. And everything has gone wrong. And I would even argue that, like, the things that have gone right are now starting to rear their ugly head as being wrongs. Dominic Pooney has been one of the best Niner offensive line draft picks in so long. Now he's got a hurt shoulder, and he had a really bad game against Green Bay. Doesn't negate the 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks of excellence that he had prior, but, like, I want to see him finish the year out. I want to see him finish on a strong note. Jordan Mason was top 5 in rushing, and then he hurt his shoulder and fell out of favor. Can he get that back? You know, Malik Mustafa's been good at times. Drops a couple interceptions, you know, the last couple of weeks. You know, people are starting to question him. Renardo Green makes a bunch of nice plays. And then also gets cooked. You know, so all the good stories have a lot of caveats, and all the negative stories are the headliners.
It's kind of crazy how things flip. You lose the Super Bowl, and you're down bad mentally, but there's this hope, right? It's like, man, we got our quarterback. We still got a lot of young pieces. Yeah, we're going to have to retool and revamp, but you know what? I like where we're at. We got our cornerstone foundation with Nick Bosa. You know, we still got some time maybe with Kittle, maybe Debo or Ayuk. Maybe we have to move on from one of them, but you know what? We have the cornerstone players for the future to feel good about. If I was just to put out a poll about the optimism of this team going forward, in 9 months, it feels like a complete 180, which is crazy.
That's the NFL.
But they were just an overtime period away from winning a Super Bowl, and 9 months later, it does feel like the sky is falling, and the future is... Now, I'm not going to say bleak, because you do have Kyle Shanahan, and I want to... This whole conversation about getting rid of him has kind of just gotten overboard for me, because I... Who are you replacing him with, first and foremost? And the guy's just done so much. Being second place multiple times does not mean you're a bad team. It means you're second place in one of the most toughest leagues in all of sports in the NFL. It is so hard to be consistent year in and year out. That's why we look at teams like Tampa. But teams like New England with Tom Brady and co. Teams like, hell, even the Packers as of late, who have been consistent. Like, you look at those franchises and those teams and being like, man, I would like to have that model of consistency, and the 49ers have been that. It's okay that they have a down year, but it's what they do this offseason is really going to signify to me what this team is going to be like going forward, because the Eagles are kind of like, I kind of am viewing them in that same view of the Eagles last year, who did make the playoffs coming off a Super Bowl loss, but you knew after that loss to the Niners they weren't the same.
They weren't even close to the same.
Weren't even the same. But what did they do, Joe Shasky? They retooled, yep. Revamped, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, Jalen Hurts and Sirianni look like they've got a new foundation. They look
like
they're
the right coordinators.
They got the right coordinators.
And then they added Saquon.
And they took off a lot from Nick Sirianni, who's not Kyle Shanahan, but maybe Kyle Shanahan needs to take some off his plate.
Well, here's what I would push back.
Brian Baldinger mentioned it. They miss Mike McDaniel right now.
Okay. Let me push back on the creativity thing from Shanahan. I've seen a lot of like, everything's stale. The offense still works. It does. Guys have to execute. They're similar to Belichick. Kyle and his personnel decisions have stymied some of his own offensive brilliance.
Can I cut you off real quick? I'm not saying that it's not the offense that doesn't look good. I'm saying there's so much on Kyle Shanahan's plate right now. It's the simple things that are killing the Niners.
Well, that I agree with.
And that's a direct reflection of the head coach. You're either coaching it or allowing it to happen with penalties and sloppy mistakes that I saw last week. That's 100% on Kyle Shanahan.
I don't think he's infallible, and I don't think that he's not without criticism. His insistence on running the old Seattle 2014 defense is driving me nuts. No one's running that defense anymore. Everyone wants to run whatever the heck Mike McDaniel's running up in Seattle, which was what he ran in Baltimore.
You also don't have Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor. You don't have all those guys.
The league's cyclical. So, like, yes. Everyone's evolved away from that defense. So his insistence on running that defense, that's going to have to change. His insistence on playing specific personnel, like Jake Brendel. Bro, we've been telling you for 2 years you need to upgrade the center spot. And it's sabotaging his play calling.
Well, he's told you what he thinks about the offensive line in the offseason and paying those guys. Unless it's a first-round pick, he's just going to keep drafting them in the third and fourth rounds.
Yeah, but go out and draft somebody in the third or fourth round, then. Jake Reynolds, like an undrafted free agent that's been around the league
for
a minute.
They probably will.
I want to see them also, like, figure out what the hell you're doing at wide receiver, because you have way too many bodies and not enough targets for any of those guys, and it's driving everyone nuts.
I mean, so, Ricky Pearsall, it's not a great pick.
It's not a great pick. But like, I do believe there are plays to be had out on that field, and I think that execution has been the biggest problem. And then, again, the personnel decisions. His insistence on just playing Christian McCaffrey is kind of maddening.
888-957-9570 is the number. What's the biggest issue facing the San Francisco 49ers right now heading into this huge matchup against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday night in a potential snowstorm, 30-mile-an-hour winds? It's going to be brutal. Status for Brock Purdy, unknown right now. Christian McCaffrey, not looking like Christian McCaffrey. Nick Bosa, what's going on with him? What's going on with Trent Williams? There's a lot facing the 49ers right now. But what's the thing that's concerning you the most, 49ers fans? 888-957-9570 is
really,
the number.
Really, sorry to jump here. Sorry, really quick on the weather. I guess a winter storm watch is in effect right now for Sunday night. So Just fun little weather update there for you.
Why even play Purdy at that point? Like, that's just what I'm getting at. We'll get into the Golden State Warriors, by the way. They have a huge matchup tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder at home at Chase Center. Tip-off right here on 95.7 The Game at 7. Plus, we're giving away a Buddy Hield City Edition jersey in the 8 o'clock hour. You better be listening. I'm rocking the City Edition jersey right now. My guy, Stephen Curry. I bleed blue and gold right here on the Morning Roast, Joe Shasky. So you can check it out on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube.
God.
I'm good in this color, don't I?
You really do.
Yeah. It reflects my eyes.
It does. So much better than the purple.
Ah, purple's nice, though. Who doesn't look good? Like, there's so many. Again, these are really sick, and I love them. Can these be, like, the third option? Just give me the whites, give me the blues, give me this one, then I'm good.
I like the black ones.
I don't need all the other ones.
I like the black ones.
Okay. Black looks good everywhere.
They're not bad. Yeah, they're not bad. I'm not mad at them. Is Steiny going to be jealous that we're rocking these jerseys?
Steiny has a signed Steph Curry one. It's a little different. Must be.
I have a signed Steph Curry jersey.
Do you?
Yeah, when he broke the initial three-point shooting thing, I actually won it in a raffle for a team to go to Cooperstown. 252, and it's signed and authenticated. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't get it from Steph. I got it from a raffle back like 10 years ago.
That's pretty crazy. That's before you even worked at the station.
Uh-huh.
That's actually
in my
wild.
Garage. Yeah, nice. I got it hanging in the garage.
Nice. Yeah, is it
matted.
Is it the one that's in there, too? Okay.
Yeah,
what else you got in there?
I got a Ronnie Lott. I've got a bunch
any
of
other signed ones?
Yeah, Ronnie Lott signed. Okay. Yeah, Ronnie Lott. Yeah.
I'm just going to assume all of them are signed now. Jesus. Huh? Yeah. Right.
I'm not big on autographs, though. I would rather have a handshake in a moment.
There you go. Right?
You know, than
picks
than
or it didn't happen, right? Joe Shasky, that's what they say. Picks or it didn't happen.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's what my brother always said. Yeah. When I met someone famous, he's like, yeah, is there pictures of that? And then it didn't happen.
That's like me and my boys drinking with Wade Boggs in Boston. Big picture. And I'm wearing a white, this is back in 2007, I'm wearing a white Joe Montana throwback.
Didn't the Red Sox win it that year, too, 07?
Shut up.
Jimmy Bayview, he wants to join in the conversation. What's going on, Jim?
Hey guys, just I'm enjoying your discussion about like the state of the Niners, and you know, when they traded Buckner, a captain, and then we've made all these draft picks for defensive linemen, and then we find DJ Jones, and then we proceed to let him go, and then sign multiple free agents, and the line has never been the same. Buckner still has not missed a game, and it's maddening that Kyle Shanahan does not seem to learn from his mistakes. And if we draft another defensive lineman, that is a red flag that this guy should be fired, period. I mean, it's maddening. All the receivers we have taken and let go and not panned out, it's just maddening. What do you guys think?
Well, it's crazy. Thanks, to me that they drafted another receiver and kept the two that they had and had Jennings on the roster the whole time. And everybody knows, like, Jennings isn't a guy who's going to be your number one. We all know that. As a two, it's fine. In this offense where you're not throwing the ball around, like if it was the Cincinnati Bengals, maybe Jennings isn't a good two because they want to throw the ball more than the Niners. In this offense where you're run-based, Jennings is fine. Fine.
I mean, it's looking like the biggest whiff of the offseason was not moving off Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel when he had the opportunity.
100%.
Because Debo's not the same player. His value's tanked. I think this is going to be his last year with the team. And Brandon Ayuk, he's just, I don't even know what his, talking about unknown with Brock Purdy, it's an unknown about Brandon Ayuk. His knee is absolutely shredded. So I'm concerned about that as well.
And think about how much time we spent talking about Brandon Ayuk and the amount of money. And the guy had a horrible start to the year, which is in part his fault and in part the Niners' fault because they didn't get the deal done, and then shreds his knee. I mean, it's like, it's been one of the worst sagas you could possibly have.
You said it. It's been a year from hell. Then your first-round pick, Ricky Pearsall, gets shot right down the street from here, and his lack of production is also concerning Brian Baldinger.
I don't even know if he was out there on the field that much. I should check how many plays he actually played. I talked to him before the game, and he told me, like, you know, I said, hey, you know, I enjoyed you coming out of college and pre-draft. You know, we're just catching up. I did that game where he scored his first touchdown against, I guess it was against Tampa, but he said that's my specialty, beat man coverage. But I don't know if the offense allows him to even go run routes where he can go win. You know, I mean, you know, Jair Alexander is an outside. They don't have the best corners on the field. Keyshawn Nixon's a slot corner playing outside. Like, I thought they could take advantage of some of the situations they had. Eric Stokes was in and out of the lineup. But I didn't see them going after Carrington Valentine. I didn't see them going after any of these corners that are the third and fourth corner in Green Bay right now.
That's concerning. I mean, the guy can't beat man coverage, and they didn't even have their best defensive player there in Jaire Alexander. And another thing about all this is, and that's why I go back to Deebo Samuel. You lost Ayuk, and this is a guy that was former first-team All-Pro in Deebo Samuel. I know he's not your prototypical Devontae Adams type, but I'm really disappointed in his year so far. Like, you need to step up. And his version of stepping up is going after the long snapper and Tabor Pepper and Jake Moody. And Jake Moody never ducks the media when he misses a kick. Cleveland as a rookie last year. You think that was hard for him? Having that and having all those missed kicks in the preseason, everyone was looking and hoping that he's going to fail so they can replace him. And what do you do? Week in, week out. Talk to the media, talk to the media, talk to the media. He's not even a captain.
I don't know.
What happened last week with Deebo Samuel? Nothing. Diddly poo. Yeah. And he skips. No. And he skips out on the media. That's weak. That's a weak sauce move from him. For a guy that loves to talk, for a guy that has a podcast, for all this sort of stuff, for him not to show up and nut up and have a one-on-one or whatever it is. I don't even care. He could have just talked to someone. Just didn't want to do that and just dipped out. It was weak.
I don't know. I think if I was in a lost season playing with no left tackle, my backup quarterback, I got one target, and my 90-yard return got called back for a hold, yeah, I'd be pretty pissed too.
I'm not saying
it's right. I understand. I think the
George
Deebo criticisms.
George Kittle's been amazing this year, and the team has nothing to show for it. He's been stepping up, and he's been hurt at times this year. That's all I'm saying. Let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Oh, God. Again, we mentioned this earlier. This bilateral stuff, Joe Shasky, I hate it.
Insane.
It's not fun. Steph Curry is questionable tonight for the Warriors matchup with the Thunder again right here on 95.7 The Game. Tip off at 7. Warriors live starting at 6. Steph is dealing with bilateral patellofemoral pain in both of his knees. And Jonathan Kuminga is also listed as questionable for tonight. He is recovering from an illness that has kept him out of the Warriors games, the last two games, I should say. The Injury Report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. They're going to need Kuminga tonight, especially in a game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are young, big, and athletic. And what is Kuminga? He has all of those things, so you need to match up well there. What's coming up to the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll get updates on both those guys from Anthony Slater at 8:30, plus more of your calls, more of your texts in regards to the San Francisco 49ers. Zaya in Los Altos, I see you. Jim, Bob, Sally, see all you guys. We'll get to you on the other side as well. 888-957-9570. It's Spadoni and Shasky on the Morning Roast, 95.7 The Game.